Thank you. Quiet wisdom.
Quiet.
Yeah, quiet.
Not silent.
No, but just quiet. All right, this first one's called Head on a Platter. Saturday before Christmas, the kitchen is down. Forget the kitchen. The tickets hang from the printers to the floor. Every table in the room is full, even the overflow, and I've got 2 fours, a 6, and 3 deuces I have to turn into two fours into 1 long 9 by 8:30. The air raid sirens blare while the buildings burn. We should all be taking cover as the bombs fall, but in the midst of this, another server asks me in a panic to get a dessert order from one of his 4 tops. The server's face has gone red with anxiety. He punches his drink order into the terminal and sprints back through the dining room, squeezing through tables and dodging guests like an all-American tailback. So I stop at his 4-top and attempt to get an order, and the guy seated in the first position tells me he'd like his waiter's head on a platter for dessert. A decade ago, one of the old hands pulled me aside, told me if I expected to be treated with dignity and respect, I should simply quit and find other work. That I should remember who is doing what on any Saturday night. They are the ones dining at an expensive restaurant with their friends and loved ones, taking in a show, or the symphony, or the opera, or a football game. We are the ones serving them, and the money is all that matters in the end. And we are on the take, and we take everything we can get, and if it requires tucking your balls between your legs to cash in, you damn well better do it. Rather than slap the curly wig off this guy's head, I can't help but think how big the tip could be if I pulled their server into the kitchen and sliced his head off with one cool, clean sweep of a chef's knife, placed it on a silver tray with scoops of Häagen-Dazs, chocolate sauce, and caramel, and then served it to the table with 4 spoons and port. I bet it'd be 50% or more in cash, and Jesus help me, I think it'd be worth it. All right, this one's called The Lunch Regular's Granddaughter. On lunch shifts, my brains are in my pockets, useless dryer lint, a handful of coins that can't pay bus fare or buy a Coke. It's the loving way she feeds him gazpacho, daubs his chin clean with a linen napkin, clears space between tables for his walker so he can make his way to the bathroom. With one of his elderly friends, he drinks cranberry juice, iced tea, ginger ale. With his granddaughter, it's always wine, and he turns delirious with it, lifts his head from his chest and smiles at the waitstaff, the managers, other guests, like he's been touched by the hand of God. Maybe he has, because on these days when I approach a table, I can smell her hair, and I swear it smells like peach pie. Her engagement ring is a piece of hard candy. And I know what those old clergymen talk about when they claim to feel the Holy Spirit breathe or move through their rooms, vestibules. I can feel it too. The Holy Spirit is a woman. The Holy Spirit is a chicken salad sandwich, no bun, that I serve her for lunch. I can find it anywhere on these shifts when she dines with her grandfather, even most miraculously in myself. All right, Jimmy is doing heroin now. He panhandles in the kitchen, hitting up every server for a buck or two, saying he's a little short for the week, needs lunch money for his kids and bus fare home. I remember 7 years ago when his second daughter was born, how the whole staff signed a card and gave cash for diapers and formula, just a little help to relieve some of the financial burden that comes when 2 people drag a child into this world. Yesterday I watched him nod off as he whisked a batch of chocolate mousse. It was almost funny the way his head dipped into his chest, but his arms kept swinging through the whipped egg whites, the chunks of chocolate. But it wasn't funny. Today's looking for cash to score, so I slip him a 20. He's pulled me out of the weeds so many times Put my forgotten souffle on the fly, jump my tickets to the front, it's the least I can do. Even if the only fucked up thing I can do for my friend is to keep him from getting dope sick on a job. Soon as I give him the cash, he bolts from his station, the half-chopped tomatoes on the board, to hit up his man stationed downtown. Soon as he's gone, I miss him, even though today I know he'll return. One day soon he won't. Jimmy will end up in jail, or he'll die. All right, greasy handshakes. I don't give a damn if it's Chuck and Pat's 50th wedding anniversary and they reserved a booth or a window table months ago to celebrate the back end of their marathon with filet mignon and lobster. Don't give a damn if Chuck and Pat are your parents or if you made a reservation for your birthday because we're your favorite restaurant in the whole city and you got your suit dry cleaned for the first time since your cousin's funeral. They found him in the basement. His basement apartment blue as a gallon of washer fluid, his teeth cutting through his tongue. Or if you got a babysitter and this is your first night together since the baby was born and your wife is wearing high heels, that black lingerie you love under her dress, and you booked the date night suite at the Omni, the one with chocolate-covered strawberries and two splits of Moet. Some stranger could walk off the street and shake my hand with a $100 bill folding it, and I don't care who you are. They'll get your table. I'd like to say I believe in fairness, doing what's right. My morals are fragile. I crack like potato chips when I touch fresh money. The world's not fair. No, sir, it's not. I got two more. Adam Smasher. One morning, we woke and our favorite false idol, that giant bulb-shaped electrostatic nuclear generator, was toppled and laying helpless on the ground. The developer who owned the land claimed hazard that the neighborhood kids were climbing it, tagging it, the junkies were leaving their dirty needles scattered, and all the rats were migrating to the bar across the street, but it looked like God reached down and flicked it over. Maybe that's how it happened, and maybe God exists, angry at our worship of the Atom Smasher on the hill, for the reverence we showed our man-made smokestacks obscuring the noon sun with fire and soot, for the bald pride we felt in our industrial might, and the swing shift juicers who used his name in vain as they cracked eggs into their morning beer. All right, this is the last one. This is called, Rune porn in spring. I swear it's corn I smell, the sweetness of the fields, but that's impossible here, sitting in a parked car on Dynamo Way, next to concrete trestles where the melting icicles fall into the cratered pavement and shatter into fine disintegrating crystals. Nothing's been planted, the wind can't carry that far, except that the wind sometimes does. I catch a scent, and I run home to this valley, cut it open and crawl in its guts like those old Indians who took shelter inside a freshly dead buffalo. Remember those big plastic slides they'd have at every town carnival? The one with the dips you could zip down in potato sacks? And during the Pitcairn Volunteer Fire Department fair, I could climb to the top and I believe I saw the whole world, except all those lights were just wall across the creek. Or that camp at Deer Valley where we climbed the lookout tower on the top of Mount Davis and could see Maryland, Ohio, West Virginia. I'm telling the truth when I say I could see Trafford's Blue Water Tower. No matter where I am, if I look hard enough, I can always see home. Thank you.